I want to welcome everybody to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. You know, when we do that, when we talk about that and I applaud, I'm applauding you guys because you are the Atlanta Church of Christ and y'all are awesome. So that's what we're doing. You know, it's not just a bunch of hype. You guys are great. You know, you're my brothers and sisters and we're trying to do all these things together. So, amen. So we're getting ready today to start a new series of classes. Gary Robertson just finished up a couple of weeks ago with a great series on 1 Peter. Wasn't that great? That's awesome. You know, a lot of depth, you know, talking about the 1 Peter and the parallels to the Sermon on the Mount. But today we're going to start at something new. The title of the series is The Scriptures in the Songs We Sing. And so what you're going to get is different brother, it's not every week, but a series of brothers teaching a series of classes on different songs that we sing, but enlightening us with the scriptures behind those songs. Some of those songs are directly from the scriptures, and we'll go back and study that scripture. We'll look at other scriptures that affect that scripture, and we'll understand what that song is all about. You know, that's what we're going to try to do. And, you know, so, you know, you think about, you know, why do we sing about things like floods and dragons? You know, why do we sing songs that talk about an Ebenezer, you know, or maybe even, you know, things like Wade in the Water? What's that all about? You know, why do we sing that song? And then there's a song like Amen, the song with one word, you know. Why do we sing that? What's going on there? What ought we to be thinking about when we're singing? What are we saying Amen about? And you know, I mean, there's all kinds of songs. You know, some people talk, you know, love the book songs, you know, with a lot of depth, a lot of verses, a lot of different things said. Sometimes we have these songs that some people sort of jokingly call the 7-Eleven songs. Seven words and you repeat them 11 times, right? But you know, there's something meaningful, hopefully, in all the songs we sing. And so the intent of this is to help us to be more engaged, to gain more from our singing, and to sing in the way that God intended. And so we want to look at, we're going to go through today, in today's class, we're going to, Sherry is my assistant today. She's going to be advancing the slides. Remember to tell her when. So this is going to be a 10-week series, songs on different topics. You know, we're going to pick songs of different topics and then examine the scriptures behind those songs. This week we're going to be talking about what do the scriptures have to say about singing. We're going to be looking throughout the Bible, and we'll be looking at what, you know, some of the things that are said about singing, and what did we sing about? Why do we do this stuff? Is this just a tradition or just a habit or just something we like to do? Why do we sing? And so this week the topic is congregational singing. We're going to talk about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Before we go into that, let's have a prayer. Father, we are so grateful that you love us. We're grateful that you provide us with such a rich life. Father, that you give us the church to be in, our brothers and sisters to love and to be loved by. That you give us your word, that you encourage us and provide us in every single way to have a life that glorifies you and enriches us, Father. That your love and your generosity just amaze us. Father, I pray that as we study these things that we will understand more what we ought to be doing, that we will become better at worshiping you in song and in encouraging one another in song. And Father, I pray that you would help us to understand your scriptures and to put them into our lives. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, you know, Ephesians, I'm going to start right out in Ephesians 5:19. We're going to spend a good bit of time in the Old Testament, but I'm going to start out here just to define the terms. If for no other reason, because this was in the title of today's lesson, Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs. So where does that come from? Well, it comes from a couple of places. In Ephesians 5:19, it says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." So it names three kinds of songs, right? Three kinds of singing. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right? So let's see, what are those things anyway? Psalm, the Greek word psalm, psalmos, it basically refers back to, I think, to the book of Psalms, you know, the Hebrew word for Psalms, which I don't even know what I didn't go get that word, but it's a striking or twitching with the fingers, like strumming a harp, okay? if you know, that's the literal meaning of it. It's like a sacred song sung to a musical accompaniment or one of the songs in the Book of Psalms. You know, in this list of three kinds of songs, personally, I think he's talking about the Book of Psalms. Okay? Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. That's just my opinion about that. But the idea is that you know, we should speak to one another. One of the ways we sing, one of the things we sing is songs from the Book of Psalms, right? It's the songbook of the Jews, of the Old Testament, right? And so Psalms. An example of a psalm that we sing, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. You know, Psalm 148, yeah. Right? I mean, go back and read Psalm 148 sometime. And actually, in a later week, we may actually cover that song and study that scripture and figure out what those dragons and those floods really are. All right? But that's the Psalms. Okay? The second kind of song is called hymns, right? The Greek there is hymnos. And basically, the idea there is a song of praise. In general, the Greek word doesn't have a religious connotation. It's just a song of praise. So it could be a praise to a hero. So, you know, how many of you remember a song called, like, Daniel Boone? Daniel Boone was a man. Remember that song? Some of you are not quite that old. Or Davy Crockett. You know, those were hymns in the sense of the Greek word. That's not the kind of hymns we're singing, right? You know, when we sing hymns, we're singing praises to who? You know, this is not rocket science, right? We're singing hymns to God. We're not singing praises to ourselves, not singing praises to our church, not singing praises to our leaders. You know, we're singing praises to who? To God, right? So that's what that's all about. So Psalms, that's hymns. And then we have spiritual songs. Okay, so a hymn, an example of a hymn is Holy, Holy, Holy. All right? So, you know, next week Richard's going to be doing this slot. When I said we're going to do this series, you know, it took him about a half a second to say, I'm going to do Holy, Holy, Holy. I said, I'm all about that. That's great. So next week, instead of Richard preaching from the pulpit, he's going to be, and I don't know where he'll stand to do that. He might decide to stand up there because he's used to it. But he's going to teach this class on praising God and holy, holy, holy. So look forward to that. Okay. Spiritual songs. What is a spiritual song? Well, the Greek is really complicated. The Greek words here are spiritual song. Okay. You know, so it's not real hard. You know, the word ode or ode is just a word for a song. It's a song, common song. But it's qualified here as a spiritual song. And I think we all know what that means, right? So we sing lots of spiritual songs. I'm coming up, Lord. You know, I'm coming up soon. Want to hear my name? There's some scriptures behind that. That's a spiritual song, though, right? Okay? All kinds of spiritual songs. And we sing all those kinds of songs. And those are the kinds of things we ought to be doing. So, you know, but let's go back. What I want to do is to go through the Bible and look at what kinds of songs did people sing, you know, in the Bible. There's a bunch of singing in the Bible. Let me get myself caught up here in my notes. I've got slides, I got slides, I got slides. And, you know, I'm a little bit... So we've done songs. Okay. So now we're going to talk about, you know, the first century church, what were they singing? Well, I think there was a variety of things. They had a bunch of songs from the Old Testament, right? I'm sure they sang from the Book of Psalms. We just read about that. I'm sure they wrote some of their own songs. There's actually, in the New Testament, some passages that people believe are songs. We're going to look at some of those in a minute. But so there may be actually some New Testament scriptures that were sung in the New Testament church as songs. And then, So basically, there was all kinds of singing. You know, we're going to look at some of the passages that tell us how to sing, and some of the passages talk about why to sing. But we're going to start in the Old Testament. So God's people have worshipped and sung through the ages. And, you know, one of the first, if not the first example we see in the scriptures, after the Exodus, you know, God has had these 10 plagues on the Egyptians to persuade Pharaoh to release the Jews from captivity. They were enslaved in Egypt, right? God sent out these 10 plagues, and Pharaoh finally, after the death of the firstborn all over Egypt, after the death of the firstborn, God persuaded Pharaoh to release them. They crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army pursued them, and they were destroyed in the Red Sea. And Moses sang this song. So, it says that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore, Exodus 4:30. And then chapter 15, verse 1, the whole chapter 15 is the song. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. And it begins, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. Okay? So there's a song. I don't know if Moses composed this song or if God inspired him to sing it or, how that song came about. But they sang this song. It was a brand new song, right? You couldn't sing about the horses and his rider being thrown into the sea until this moment, right? Okay? So this was a new song they wrote about things that were happening, about some great things God had done among them. All right? So there's another song from Moses. In his final sermon, Moses sings a song that God gave him to sing. He taught this to the people. And this is a different kind of song. Okay? Deuteronomy 31, verse 19, God speaking to Moses says, Now write down for yourselves this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it so that it may be a witness for me against them. That sounds a little bit sobering, right? God gives you those kinds of instructions, says, learn this song, sing it. and it's going to be a witness against them, all right? Wow. So Deuteronomy chapter 32 is where that song appears, and it's an interesting song. I'm gonna just read. Let's start back in Deuteronomy 31. I want to get sort of the context of this. Turn to Deuteronomy 31, verse 16. We'll read a handful of verses here. It says, And the Lord said to Moses, You are going to rest with your fathers, and these people will soon prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. On that day I will become angry with them and forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they will be destroyed. Many disasters and difficulties will come upon them, and on that day they will ask, Have not these disasters come upon us because our God is not with us? And I will certainly hide my face on that day because of all their wickedness in turning to other gods. Now, write down for yourselves this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it so that it may be a witness for me against them. When I have brought them into a land of flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on oath to their forefathers, and when they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. And when many disasters and difficulties come upon them, this song will testify against them, because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know that they are what they are disposed to do, even before I bring them into this land I promised them on oath. So Moses wrote down this song on that day and taught it to the Israelites. So again, he had Moses write down this song, and then says, notice he says, this song will testify against them because of what? Because their descendants. It will not be forgotten by their descendants. It was something to be passed on through the generations, and it was to teach them something. They were going to remember it. You notice what God's doing with the song here, okay? Aside from just the warnings and the threats and the, I told you so kind of thing, right? He's using it as a teaching tool. He's teaching them his message through a song. Have you ever noticed that you can remember the words of a song? If you want to memorize something, make a song out of it, okay? And, it's a great teaching tool. A tangent here. We taught our kids, as preschoolers, they could name the books of the New Testament. How many of y'all can name right now, could stand and name the books of the New Testament? Our kids, when they were preschoolers, could do that. And they could do it because we taught them a song. Okay? And I'm not going to teach you that now, but that's a sermon for another day or a class for another day. But you know, you ought to do that. You ought to learn that. Come see me sometime. I'll teach you. So teaching through songs. And the idea was that the descendants would not forget. Okay? So the song begins in Deuteronomy 32. The first verse says, I will proclaim to the Lord, O praise the greatness of our God. So what does that sound like? What kind of song does that sound like? It's a hymn, right? Praising God. It says, you know, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He's praising God, right? It's a hymn. But it continues on. Verse 5 says, they have acted corruptly toward him. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but warped in a crooked generation. Now, how are you going to feel singing that? You know, that's talking about you and your children or your descendants or, you know, it's a sort of a sobering song. So now look down in verse 41, 32:41. It says, when I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand grasps it in judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries and repay those who hate me. That's part of the song God taught them. Right? Sobering words. How would you feel singing those songs? Well, let me ask you this. Because you do sing this song. You know, you sing, he is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. Do you actually pay attention to those words when you sing them? Or is it just, I like the music? You know, there's meaning in the song, right? And the purpose was to teach them so they would remember these things. Okay? We're gonna cover different topics of songs, and this is why we're doing it, is to help us to not only, you know, it's great to like the music, it's great to, you know, kind of remember the words, but we need to mean what we're singing. We need to understand it in order to mean it. Okay, so Deuteronomy 32, verse 44. So this is at the end, you know, after he's given the whole song, it says, Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. When Moses finished reciting the words, all these words to Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So these songs are intended to teach a message that is your life. You know, they're not just idle words for you. Okay? So that's going to be, if you don't remember anything else from today's class, remember that. There's no point in singing the song if you don't mean it. If these are idle words, we don't want to be doing that. That's not what it's for. This is not about the music. All right. How are we doing time-wise? Okay, so, all right, Judges chapter 5. We have Deborah. You know, Deborah and Gideon, and they had their big victory, and they defeated the Canaanites and Jabin, and then you had the Song of Deborah. Okay, and Song of Deborah is in Judges chapter 5. We're not going to read it, but in verse 2, it says, when the princes of Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. This is a celebration, isn't it? Sort of a hallelujah song. Sort of there's praise of God. There's look at what God has done. But it's a celebration. It's after something, just kind of like Moses' song after crossing the Red Sea. You know, it's look at the amazing thing God has done for us. It's obvious this was not, you know, these 300 guys didn't conquer that army that was in front of them, you know, with Gideon. It was done by God. You know, just like Moses didn't part the Red Sea. Moses didn't cause the plagues. You know, it was God. It was very obvious to these people. They were praising God for, you know, celebrating what God had done for them. So those are the kinds of things we ought to be doing in song, right? All right. David, after bringing the ark to Jerusalem. So this is in. I can't keep my notes straight. Okay, in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 and 9, I mean, there's a whole long song in there, but just a couple of verses from it. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. So there's another song in the Old Testament, okay, praising God, celebrating something great. You know, the ark had finally come to Jerusalem, okay. And so that was something to celebrate, okay. you know, there's many more songs. There's a whole book of Psalms, right? 150 of them. And there's all kinds of them. We could look at a bunch of them. We won't go through a bunch of them today. We'll look at maybe one or two. Let's look at just one, Psalm 150. Psalm 150 is sort of singing about singing in a way. But it's talking about praising God and sort of how you can celebrate and praise God. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine, with dancing, praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. So what kind of a song is that? It's a hymn, right? It's also a psalm. Yeah, there's all kinds of songs in the Psalms, and hymns are certainly prevalent throughout the Psalms. Yeah, there's many different kinds of Psalms. If you remember, Steve Galbraith had a series, I don't know, a year or two ago, about Psalms, and there's, you know, he went through all the different categories of you know, the Hallelujah Psalms, the imprecatory Psalms, the, you know, Psalms of praise, Psalms about God's different attributes, you know, all kinds of different attributes of God. So lots of Psalms. Okay, so David brought the ark to Jerusalem. Then we have the Psalms, lots of Old Testament stuff. But you know, there's songs. Even Jesus sang songs. Did you know that? Look over in Matthew 26. And this is really still in the context of Jewish worship when he was doing this. And yet, it goes beyond that. So Matthew 26, verse 30 says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So this is at the end of the Lord's Supper. This is before he was betrayed, just before he prayed in the garden. They sang a hymn. Okay, pretty interesting. Wouldn't it be cool to know what he sang at that moment? You know, there's a pretty good chance we do sing, okay? Because there's some songs that were always sung at the Passover, okay? And they were in the Psalms, and they're recorded for us. Psalms 113 through 118 were always sung at the Passover. And those are some pretty important topics. You know, it's basically, they're songs of praise. They are hymns, right? Songs of praise. 113 is just general song of praise. Psalm 114 is kind of a reminder of the Exodus, you know, what God did in bringing them out of Egypt. And also of Joshua crossing the Jordan. Talks about, you know, who parted that Jordan anyway? You know, it was God, you know. Psalm 115 talks about, you know, the Lord and not idols. Okay, yeah, we ought to be following the Lord. 116 talks about gratitude for the Lord's deliverance. I mean, again, it's a song of praise, but a song about deliverance. Psalm 117, another psalm of praise. And Psalm 118 is basically what kind of response ought we to give from what God has done for us. You know, it would be a great series of quiet times those from the mindset of Jesus going to the cross. What do these mean to him? How does Jesus going to the cross kind of add depth and meaning to these psalms? Because this is what he's sung in all likelihood before going to the cross. You know, actually, the Greek in the verse we just read in Matthew 26 is all about, you know, it talks about hymning. It's like a verb. They hymned. You know, they sang some hymns. So it actually allows for it to, you know, it was more than one hymn in all likelihood. And again, that was what was sung at the Passover. So in all likelihood, those are exactly what they sang. So, all right. So which slide are we on, Sherry? Okay. So yeah, let's flip past these because we're running short on time. Go up to singing in the New Testament church. There you go. Okay. So let's look at Ephesians 5:19 again. We started there. Ephesians 5:19. So this is the instruction to the church for singing. So we've taken it all the way through Jesus' singing. Says in Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So I want to talk about a few phrases here. Okay, next. It says, speak to one another. with these things, right? So when you're singing, what are you doing? You ought to be, one of the things we're doing is speaking to one another. So, and you know, it's kind of strange if somebody's talking to you and they're not looking at you, right? You ought to be looking at each other. If I'm singing something, I'm speaking to Steve here, we ought to make eye contact, right? You know, we ought to be looking around. We ought to see each other. We're saying something to each other. Okay, it's kind of strange if you're talking to somebody and you're not looking at them. Okay, it says, make music in your hearts to the Lord, right? So we're also making music in our hearts to the Lord. So this is worship. This is communion with God. Okay. We're communicating something to God. We mean what we say, which means you ought to be meaning what you say, right? I'm going to make a little tangent here, and this is for free. It's kind of all, you know, we talk about our worship service. What is a worship service? It's kind of hard to define from the Bible because the phrase never appears, right? In fact, if you were in Doug Jacoby's class in Raleigh, he made this point, you know, that basically we've got this concept that we come to church on Sunday to worship. Worship is something that there's like five different Greek words that are translated worship in the Bible, and none of them really pertain to what Christians do in the Sunday assembly. Now, yes, what we do in the assembly includes worship. Certainly when we sing, we're worshiping. When we pray, we're worshiping. When we study God's Word, when we teach God's Word, when we fellowship, all those things are serving God, and they are worship. They are things we do, making it a living sacrifice. But if we're not doing those things on Monday, are we really doing those things on Sunday? Right? It's a, so worship is a 24/7 activity. But when we come together, it's community worship. It's congregational worship, okay? We do it together. That's where we speak to one another, okay? And we make music in our heart to the Lord. But we can do that at home too, right? This is not just talking about congregational singing. It's speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Always giving thanks to God, okay? So it's a thing of gratitude, you know, always giving thanks. You know, we're grateful for what God's done for us, just like we read about in the Old Testament, right? God done something great. We sing about it. Or we celebrate it. We're excited. We appreciate it. We see how great it is. Always giving thanks. Okay? Then there's Colossians 3:16, which is a similar verse, which adds a little additional flavor to it. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Okay? So let's talk about that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing. Okay? So, as you sing, what does that have to do? You know, the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does it mean for the word of Christ to dwell in you richly? It's part of your life. Exactly. This is not something, I hadn't thought about this since last Sunday, right? Okay, you're expressing something that's a part of you, that's in you richly, that's deep in there. It's part of your soul. I mean, it's just, it runs your life. It's what makes you tick. So let the word of Christ, so it's talking about let the word of Christ. So we're talking here about the scriptures, right? We're living by the scriptures. We're pulling them into our lives. We're living by them. And now when we sing, that's just coming out. Okay, it's not just saying, okay, y'all be sure to sing. That's not the point of this passage. Yeah. The point of this passage is that the word of Christ is just a part of us. And when we sing, it's just coming out. It's a natural expression of what's inside. Okay, so, and then make sure it's real. Okay. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 15 and 16. Not the verses that maybe always get pulled out when we're talking about singing. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 15 and 16 says, this is in talking about how to run a worship service and what's appropriate and what's not. Paul teaching the Corinthian church, he says, "So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? Okay. So, but the idea here is, you know, he talks about, you know, this is talking about should you interpret the tongues or not, and, you know, we're not, that's not what this class is about. But he also said, I will sing with my mind. Are you singing with your mind? Are you singing just kind of rote? You know the song, you know the words, you like the music. You know, if I like the music, I sing, but if it's somebody else's style, you know, I just kind of mouth the words, you know. We ought to be speaking to one another. In fact, you know, it says when he talks about speaking to one another, sort of the purpose of the song as far as the community is concerned is to move the heart of the other person, right? So I need to be singing his style of song, not necessarily mine, right? So I ought not to be all about, I'm just going to sing the songs that I like. It's really more about singing the songs that your brothers and sisters like, which is why we try to do all kinds of different styles of songs here. And so that's, you know, we need to embrace all the different cultural singing that we do and remember that we're singing to the other person. We're communicating a message to someone else. Okay? So, all right, so let's go to Matthew chapter 15. So singing with your mind, the words matter. And if that one didn't convict you, let this one convict you. Okay, Matthew 15, starting in verse 7. Now, when I read this, I'm not calling you guys hypocrites, okay? I'm telling you this is what you would be if you didn't do it right. But I bet you will, okay? Matthew 15, verse 7 says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That was one of the sterner rebukes Jesus gave. You know, it's like you think you're worshiping me, but you're not. And what was the reason? Their hearts were not in it. They were just, it was just mouthing the words. They would just, yeah, they would say the right spiritual things, but it was not in their heart. Okay? When we sing, we need to not just be singing with our lips, but we also need to be singing with our hearts. Just like when we, you know, when we say amen, you know, usually we'll, this crowd's pretty good about, you know, you hear something that strikes a chord, you say amen, all right? Amen means let it be so. Yeah. I like that. I'm in agreement with that. God, make that be. You know, and sometimes, occasionally somebody will say something that's not appropriate to say amen to. Yeah. And people will say amen. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, somebody's going to, you know, not going to be in heaven one day, you know, and you say amen. You know, I mean, no. It's true, we believe it, but it's not something to say amen to, okay? You know, amen is, but, you know, that's, again, that's sort of a freebie there. It's not really particularly about singing. All right, you get me, you get what I'm thinking about. So there you go. All right, so this is, again, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. So we're going to move quickly here. It says, "What shall we say then, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. All of these must be done for what reason? Strengthening the church. What's the purpose of our singing according to this verse? Strengthening the church. You're speaking to one another. Okay, you're encouraging one another. Yeah, you know, it's like God told Moses, you know, teach them this song so they won't forget. Okay? It's a teaching, it's an expression. It helps you to say the things, to bring them into your heart when you sing them. So it's the things we're singing about, you know, there's a purpose in it. Okay? You know, when you're singing, you're accomplishing the purposes of God. If you're speaking to one another, if you're making that eye contact, if you're communicating something, if you mean what you say, okay? You know, our singing is not intended as entertainment for God. Sometimes I hear things said, you know, it's like, God, I hope you were pleased with our singing, you know. Okay, I don't, you know, I think if we have encouraged one another, if we have expressed worship, you know, praise that's in our heart, I think that, yeah, God's pleased with that. But it's not because God is a music critic. It's not because God needs our entertainment. It's really for our benefit. Worship is for our benefit. It helps us to realize who God is and who we are. God doesn't need our praise. Why do we praise God? It's because it puts us in our place. God's great, not us, right? So that's what we're doing. When we're singing, we're praising God, we're acknowledging, you're the one, God, not us. It's all about you, okay? We even sing that song, right? That's a good song. All right, we're gonna look at a few verses here in our next 5 minutes. Romans 11, I'm just going to read these, but you might want to write them down and put them. These are some passages that I think could have been songs in the first century church. If they weren't, they okay? That's my opinion. And if some of you guys want to take your hand at writing some music to go along with these and arranging it, amen, try that. I've actually done one of these. So Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths are beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You know, that sounds a lot like some of the Psalms, doesn't it? Okay, that could very easily be a song in the church. And, you know, this is after Paul has basically laid out Christian doctrine, how we've been saved, and you know how we ought to respond to that. You know, he's getting ready to talk about chapter 12 and beyond, what that means for us in practical terms. But here he's sort of like at the culmination of, look at what God has done, and he just breaks into song. That's the way I take this. Okay. All right. Let's Romans 3, verses 20 and 21. He says, and we all know this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power which is worked within us, to him be glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Could have been a song. Probably is a song. But Ephesians is sort of like Cliff's notes on Romans, right? And so this is right at that same juncture as Romans 12. You know, it's like he's gotten through laying out the doctrine, getting ready to say, okay, therefore live this way. Okay? So again, he breaks into song. Philippians 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And make a great song, right? Okay, you get several verses of a song right there, right? Yeah, all the stanzas, you can work out the harmonies or whatever you want to do. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Speaking to one another in psalms and spiritual songs, encouraging could make a great song. 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. This one, a lot of the commentators, definitely a song that was sung in the early church. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And you know, we had a 2 Timothy class. I taught a 2 Timothy class a couple of years ago. And you know, I don't know if you remember, I actually, you know, basically arranged this to the tune of Danny Boy, okay? You know, that great bluesy, you know, you know, Danny Boy. So, we can do that. We can take these passages, take the meaning out of these verses and arrange the words and put them to music. That would be great. You know, it's not all just songs out of the scriptures. It's also hymns and spiritual songs that we might write ourselves, expressing what's in our hearts about God. Okay. That's our class for today. We're going to continue on next week. Richard will be talking about Holy, Holy, Holy. And there will be a series of brothers coming up following that with different topics they'll be singing, you know, teaching the meaning of the song from the scriptures, and then we'll pull that song into the worship service, and so it'll be fresh and meaningful to you as we sing it in worship. So thank you very much, and go get your children and bring them back. Worship will start in 10 minutes.
Ellen, that was very good.
Oh, well, thank you.
Brother, was very good. I didn't know you had that levity about you.
Well, it's, you know, my philosophy about teaching classes put lots of scripture in it, and it has to be good.
Yeah, but your style is very disarming and very good.
Oh, well, good. Well, thank you.